The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, I was just talking about the fact that Al Jazeera is talking about $1 trillion over the next decade between Israel and the UAE. Astounding. It must have hurt them to write that.
Isn't it fantastic? I'm just loving it. And I'm loving this news just in taking the number to 19, the amount of countries boycotting Durban for next week. Slovakia and Greece joined the growing list of countries saying we are not going to participate in this anti-Semitic bashing fest.
Yeah, no, that is really very encouraging to hear. Let's talk about the fact that it is the first year anniversary of the Abraham Accords.
Well, isn't it just extraordinary? You know, I remember as clear as yesterday, because it does feel like yesterday, when I broke the news on this very show that the UAE had made the decision to normalize ties with Israel. You know, it was that infamous tweet coming in from former President of the United States, Donald Trump, saying that the United Arab Emirates will be recognizing and normalizing ties with Israel, and we couldn't believe what we were hearing. Here we are a year later, and wow, isn't it just extraordinary what has been achieved? So you just heard that statistic coming in from Al Jazeera, of all people, and we know they have a cramp in the hand now, Simon, but not a day goes by where we don't hear of more deals being made, memorandums of understanding being signed between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and we have to add in Bahrain. Today, a momentous day, as Ambassador Jalakhma, our very, very first ambassador from Bahrain to the State of Israel, presented his credentials to our President Isaac Herzog. I was watching it on Twitter, and I just was filled with so much pride. And if we look back in the last year, look what has been achieved. We now have Israeli embassies open in Bahrain and in the United Arab Emirates. We have a consulate in Dubai, an embassy in Abu Dhabi, that's the capital, an embassy in Manama, that's the capital of Bahrain. We have emissaries from both countries with full diplomatic ties to Israel. It's really, really extraordinary. The circle of peace, of course, expanded to include Morocco and the Sudan. But today, a year ago, that historic signing of the Abraham Accords into history on the lawns of the White House. And we can't forget the role that the United States has played in facilitating this, making it all possible. Also, the goodwill, the friendships that have been built between Emiratis, Bahrainis, and Israelis online. You know, not a Friday goes past where I don't have an interaction with Ambassador Huda Nunu, who wishes me, and I'm sure many, many others, Shabbat Shalom. I often tweet out tweets from Ambassador Nunu. We have the incredible amount of Emiratis who have visited this country, of course, a record amount of Israelis, finally exploring all that the UAE has to offer. I remember this time last year making jokes with you that, you know, the UAE doesn't know what they're in for, but clearly they are liking what they are seeing. And we also can't forget that these accords have really, really stood the test of time. They have legs of their own. Of course, we were concerned during May, during our conflagration with our neighbors in Gaza, when over 4,000 rockets and projectiles were fired from the Strip into Israel, Israel responding with a military campaign known as Operation Guardians of the Wall. And concerns that it would harm these accords, but it didn't. What it did do was open up opportunities for what would have been very uncomfortable discussions just over a year ago, but have been necessary dialogues. And looking at yesterday's rapprochement between Egypt and Israel, President al-Sisi meeting meeting with our Prime Minister Bennett, and just the warmth exhibited between the two leaders, and our Prime Minister walking out saying that the foundations have been established for a strong peace, a lasting peace, and a deep peace and friendship. I think that Egypt is looking at what has developed over the last year and thinking, you know, we want a peace reaction too. We need to look at ways to increase trade, tourism, etc., etc. It wouldn't surprise me if in time we saw that from Jordan, that what is a very staid peace will become a war peace. And I think also in time, and I'm hoping it will impact the Palestinians to recognize that there is more to be gained by normalizing, by recognizing each other, than by constantly engaging in this incitement, in this never-ending cycle of hate and violence.
So from a really very positive story to a not-so-positive one today, you say Israel's bracing for a major escalation. Why is that?
Well, this is according to our public security minister, who says that security forces foiled a major attack this week, which is very, very sobering. But considering that we have seen an uptick in violence over the last couple of days as a result of Israel rearresting 4 out of the 6 escaped prisoners, and we're pretty sure that we'll catch the other 2 as well. We have seen an uptick in violence, the firing of rockets, the sending of arson terror balloons, the attempted stabbing at Gush Etzion Junction of a soldier yesterday, the stabbing of 2 yesterday in Jerusalem at the central bus station. Those 2 casualties have been released from hospital. Thank goodness they're okay. But we are going on high alert, of course, as we approach Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where Israel will come to a complete and an absolute standstill starting from sunset tomorrow night. We also know that about 2,000 police have been stationed across Jerusalem.
Raline, there has been a legal development in the murder case of Naftali Frankel, Gilad Shar, and Eyal Yifrach.
Well, this is also an extraordinary development over today. Legal group, I'm sure we all know who it is, they aren't listed, filed a suit on behalf of the relatives of Naftali Frankel, Gilad Shaar, and Eyal Yifrach, who were kidnapped and subsequently murdered in 2004. And the judge ruled that Hamas is responsible for now paying 38 million shekels to the families, which would be about $11.8 million. Now, the legal team that took Hamas to court say that this is not nearly enough of a sum that would be enough to deter terrorists. But what we do know is that the 3 young boys who incidentally are buried here in Modi'in were kidnapped by Hamas on June the 12th, 2014, they were hitchhiking home from their yeshiva, from a popular hitchhiking post. They were murdered shortly afterwards, and it took 18 days for their bodies to be found. But what happened in the interim is because of them, we were alerted to the fact that Hamas and terror entities in the Gaza Strip were tunneling under to try and get into Israel, to try and kidnap more civilians, more soldiers, and commit the most heinous acts of terror. And we really hold them responsible for our safety, because you know, it was this horrendous terror occurrence that alerted us to what could have been absolutely something catastrophic. So I don't know what kind of healing or closure this could possibly bring to the families, but we hope that it sends a message that, you know, you're going to pay for your acts of terror in more ways than one.
Rolene Marks, we leave it there this afternoon. All that remains is to wish you a meaningful fast. Gemara Chatima Tova. And you and I will chat. I think it is next Thursday. That's when we're back on air.
Oy vavoy, the separation anxiety. But guys, I wish you all a safe and a meaningful fast. Gemara Chatima Tova. May you all be written in the book of life and for a healthy and safe year.